The attorneys can be reached at 461-3000. That's 461-3000. Or you can direct connect to their website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
On 91.7 FM, we talk about God's good news.
You're listening to The Truth.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you jump on board. Join in the dialogue and discussion that we have right here each and every day on Let's Face the Issues. We're looking forward to your involvement in the broadcast with your questions and your comments. And right after a brief monologue, we'll open our telephone lines and invite you to call in. Let me remind you, though, lest I forget it, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. And let me remind you, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority, the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. I call it the Truth Book. Perhaps you've heard me say that before, and you say, why does he do that? Simply because in John 8:31-32, the Lord Jesus, speaking to his disciples, says, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. Ladies and gentlemen, there's no greater freedom than we have in truth, and truth is the Lord Jesus Christ. He said in John 14:6, I am truth. Further in John 17:17, a declaratory statement is made about the Word of God. Thy word is truth, the Bible says. Then in Psalms 117:2, the Bible says the truth of the Lord endures forever. What does it mean, endures forever? It means it stands the test forever. No need in modification, no need in deletion or addition to the Word of God. It stands as the Truth Book. Yet we have those, ladies and gentlemen, in society today, just as the secularist George Orwell said in his dystopian novel entitled 1984. By the way, that was published in the late 40s, 47, 48, and 49. But in the dystopian novel, Orwell said this, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And may I say to you, I see that more and more each and every day. As we witness what is happening in Minnesota, as we witness what is taking place with the Socialist Marxist Communist Democratic Party, when we see what is happening with the Marxist media, we understand that they mishandle the truth very, very easily. I am concerned when we see that taking place. It was the former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint that made this statement. What we believe about truth does not change what is true. What we believe about reality does not change what is real. There's no greater example of arrogance and self-worship than to assume whatever we believe is true and real. Yet that is precisely the prevailing view in America today, even in some of our Christian churches. That's a, how would you say, a difficult thing to embrace, the realization and the recognition of how far we have drifted from the centrality of truth. And yet the latest surveys, 60% of the millennials, that's the 18 to 35 year old, think this thing is absolute truth. In fact, their statement is, each person determines his or her own version of truth. And yet, I'm looking at a headline that's a frightening headline. Western society will be destroyed without a commitment to truth. And the article goes on to say, a significant number of our country's most serious problems have their roots in higher education, and there's no more serious problem than the notion, fashionable in academia today and for decades, that truth is relative. or that it's a matter of individual perception or cultural mores, or even that there's no such thing as absolute truth. Ladies and gentlemen, I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer Jan Hus. Jan Hus said this, and may I quote, "Faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death." That's my challenge each and every day, ladies and gentlemen, that we seek the truth, love it, listen to it, learn it, be willing to live it, and defend it even to death. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291. That's 11291 Old San Augustine Road, right at the intersection of I-295 and Old San Augustine Road. There's an identifier, a benchmark. On the campus of Tools for Time, there's a 165-foot flagpole. On top of that flagpole flies Old Glory, the U.S. flag 24/7. Find that flag at the flagpole. The base of the flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for a Time. ToolsForATime.com. ToolsForATime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, the issue that I believe is pertinent today, perhaps as not before in recent times, and that is, will we have another pandemic? Is there another pandemic? And we're talking about another like the COVID, so-called, it's best known today as the plandemic, but will there be another one? We're told that it will be. In fact, WHO, the World Health Organization, tells us that we must be prepared for another pandemic. In fact, let me just read you the headline on that and one brief paragraph. Prepare for the next pandemic. Few pathogens, even deadlier potential than COVID, according to the World Health Organization chief. The World Health Organization director warning comes after the group officially COVID met and it's ended its COVID global emergency meeting. During the meeting, the World Health Organization in Geneva, Switzerland said it is still a threat. Quote, the threat of another variant emerging that causes new surges of diseases and death remains. And the threat of another pathogen emerging is even deadlier than the potential, and that remains. One final statement in this article. More than 6.9 people globally have died from COVID-19, according to the World Health Organization tally. The COVID pandemic showed basically everyone on the planet needs to be better prepared for what's coming next. So, ladies and gentlemen, my question is, will we have another pandemic? I mean pandemic. Of course. Is that possible? Is it on the horizon? How should we plan? I think, ladies and gentlemen, if I could simply insert a little parenthetical Youngblood footnote to this, I believe that the plandemic, as it was called, the pandemic as they said that it was, I believe that it was designed, I may be wrong, you can correct me, and I'd love to hear from you. I believe it was designed to set the stage to condition all of us to be willing to close our churches, shut the doors of the economy, and frighten people into getting the jab, whatever it may be, on the future tense. I believe it was to force every citizen to be in a position to depend on Big Pharma for the rest of our lives. I believe that's a nutshell of what has happened and is taking place today. I can't answer all of these questions, but I have someone sitting here with me today that can answer them for us. I'm delighted to have Dr. Reed Sheftall with us today. He's a heart surgeon, a plastic surgeon, an authority on the question of COVID-19. In fact, he's published two books on that subject. I'll touch on them now. We'll touch on them later. One of them is called Sanction, The COVID Murders, Volume 1, and the other is The COVID-19 Book of List, and it talks about the heroes and the villains ones in the COVID pandemic that took place. We'll talk about that in a moment. Dr. Sheftall, thank you so much for being here, taking time to join us in this, what I think is a very serious preemptive conversation about what is happening, what has happened, and what we should believe. First of all, if you don't mind, take a moment introducing some perhaps have not heard our interviews before. So take a moment, give a little of your biographical and why people should listen, understand, and believe what you're saying. And then after you've done that, I want you to tell us a little bit about your two books.
Okay, thank you, Pastor Youngblood, for having me. And it's so great to be back with you after going through the treatment for my cancer. You're such a sight for sore eyes. You're such a great person. And it gives me inspiration and ambition to work hard from this point forward.
Amen. I'm thankful for that.
Thank you, sir.
And I'm delighted for the percentage of cure for what you've had, what you've gone through. By the way, it was not an easy way, but it was good weight loss, wasn't it?
Yeah, I lost 47 pounds. Can you see how skinny
I can,
I look?
I can see that.
Yeah, I look like a concentration camp survivor. Yeah. I look pretty bad. But, Pastor, I just want to give you a brief background sketch on myself. I was a physics major at MIT. I went to medical school. I taught physics for 1 year before medical school at the University of Southern California when I was 21 years old, younger than most of the students. And then I went to medical school, on to general surgery residency, and then plastic surgery residency. And finally, at age 56, I needed someone to do the cardiac surgery in my charity, and there was no one there, so I went back and learned how to be a pediatric cardiac surgeon, which I do now.
Amen.
The reason I'm so interested in COVID is when I was in Cambodia at the time where I ran the charity, and I noticed that some of the claims that were being made early on were not true at all. And easy to prove that the authorities and the government, our own government, were lying about a lot of the science that underlied COVID-19. So I started writing essays, making videos, etc. And that culminated in the two books, Heroes and Villains, the COVID-19 Book of Lists, and the book that I'm publishing now called Sanction the COVID Murders. I have one volume out, and there are going to be six volumes to that 2,000-page work.
Amen. Pretty definitive in that research and the study.
Oh, sure. Yeah, I've looked into it more than anybody. One interviewer, a very famous Dr. Thorpe, who's been very active in COVID, told me I was the most knowledgeable person in the United States on COVID.
So I believe him.
That was a nice compliment.
I believe him, absolutely. Well, Doctor, I'm looking at another one of the headlines. It says, World Health Organization director issues a warning of the coming pandemic. New health organizations have been concerned by the world being enveloped by another pandemic, or pandemic, after COVID-19 sucked globally in early 20s and following, killing millions of people and sparking economic political upheaval around the world. The COVID-19 pandemic may now seem like a distant memory, this writer says, overtaken by conflict, geopolitical and economic disruptions, but the next pandemic will not wait until these things calm down. Would you decipher that for us?
Yes. First of all, I'd like to say that the WHO director, Tedros, was so wrong about COVID. I don't know why anyone would listen to him this time. Isn't that logical?
It's logical.
I mean, he was wrong about everything. He said that the COVID-19 pandemic was caused by a novel coronavirus, SARS-CoV-2, which ended up not even existing, and I can prove it.
What are his medical credentials?
Oh, he is not a medical doctor.
That's
can you
right.
believe the World Health Organization director is not a medical doctor?
Not a medical doctor. Most people do not know that.
Yeah, no, he's not a medical doctor. He is an epidemiologist-type person, and he got his degrees from schools I'd never even heard of. He's from Ethiopia. So, you know, what's going on with the World Health Organization? It's just become a body of corrupt support for the big pharma. It's
now,
really all it is.
Tell me if I'm right or wrong. I don't have the document before me, but recently I had a research document that said that under President Trump, we pulled out of the World Health Organization.
Yes, right.
Is that good or bad?
It's good. Why should we ask taxpayers to support an organization that lied to us about COVID, locked us down, destroyed the lives of millions of people, stole their life savings, many of whom got so depressed and despondent that they took their own lives.
Correct.
Remember, the only...
That particular portion of it, if I can jump in, has been totally underreported.
Totally underreported.
In fact, the last time I read something on that, it was hundreds and hundreds that had taken their own lives.
Yeah, I saw an interview with an honest emergency room doctor who said, we're not getting any people with so-called COVID coming into the emergency room, but we're getting tons of suicide attempts from young people in here. Mm-hmm. People got very lonely. They weren't allowed to mix with other people. They weren't allowed to socialize, and that's very important, especially to a younger person who's not sure about his identity yet, and he needs his friends and so forth to support his good feeling about himself, let's put it that way. And so the only two diseases that causes of death that actually increased in 2020 were suicides and drug overdoses. Mm-hmm. Can you believe that? All the other causes of death decreased in 2020.
And yet... correct me if I'm wrong and explain this to our listeners. What's the difference? And we've talked about this before, but for perhaps a person that's not heard us before on this subject, what's the difference in what we have called COVID-19 and the change from deaths from emphysema for a year? I believe it's in 2020, 2021. Explain that differential in what we're talking about.
Oh, you mean how the deaths from influenza dropped to almost nothing?
Yes.
And the COVID deaths took their place. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was just a rebranding of influenza.
So this is the reason you say very strongly that COVID-19 didn't exist.
Right. It's all COVID-19 was atypical pneumonia. Mm-hmm. Do you remember when the WHO director comes in front of all the cameras and said there are 14 cases of atypical pneumonia in the Hunan seafood wet market, and they're caused by a novel coronavirus? Mm-hmm. So the only thing that COVID-19 ever was atypical pneumonia. We just gave it a scary name, COVID-19, but it was atypical pneumonia the whole time.
And yet we have today those...
and it was not caused by a novel coronavirus.
That's right. And yet we have those today. I was in Walmart just recently, and I was absolutely amazed to see two people out of all in the store wearing a real heavy mask, walking around as though they were zombified. And now I'm looking at a headline that says, "The Strange Religion of Vaccine Worship. Nearly half of all Democrat voters backed measures requiring the unvaccinated to live, at least temporarily, in detention facilities."
Yeah, and even go to prison for not getting their vaccine.
Yes.
I read the statistics on that. I was blown away. Something like 75% of Democrats and even like 18% of Republicans thought people should be punished with incarceration if they didn't take the vaccine.
Yes.
Isn't that insanity?
And yet, what are we finding as far as the true statistical data, those that took the vaccine versus those that didn't?
Okay, well, let me
tell
you.
Which side fared better?
The people that did not take the vaccine fared much better, mm-hmm. statistically. And I know there's going to be people that quote the opposite, but I can prove that the vaccine was based, as all vaccines are, on the genome, as all vaccines are with the mod RNA platform. Mm-hmm. They're based on the messenger RNA of the virus, and that was obtained fraudulently. So the vaccine has nothing to do with the real world at all.
Explain that to our listeners.
Okay. When very briefly, if you haven't taken biology before, there's a thing called DNA, mm-hmm. and that gets transcribed into RNA, which gets translated into proteins, such as, say, the spike protein or many other proteins. And the idea of the vaccine was to take that messenger RNA, put it inside a lipid nanoparticle, but before that was done, they did a thing called N1 methyl pseudouridination. And that caused all kinds of problems that I can refer to later. So it wasn't messenger RNA that was put in the lipid nanoparticles. It was modified RNA.
Explain the difference to our listeners.
Well, modified RNA takes the uracil residues on messenger RNA and in the N1 position puts a methyl group on there. It's a chemical reaction that puts a methyl group on there. That reduces inflammation, which is a good thing, but it makes the RNA last on the order of years instead of days or hours even.
So let me jump in a moment. Is that the reason we're listening to what now is called long COVID?
No, that's a construct. Okay. I hate to say that, but long COVID, if COVID doesn't exist, long COVID certainly doesn't exist. Mm-hmm. So that was a scam from the beginning. As a matter of fact, they interviewed a bunch of children who were said to have long COVID. Remember, this is more of an issue with children than anyone. And you know what the most common characteristic of the children with long COVID was?
What's that?
That their parents had told them they had long COVID.
Yeah.
So there's a bunch of woke parents that were telling their kids they were going to be sick for a really long time from COVID, and they believed it. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's really sad because when you tell a person they're going to be a victim, they look for reasons to become a victim.
Right.
And it's a terrible thing that human beings have fallen into. I'm talking about throughout life, you should not victimize or tell people they're a victim of something.
Absolutely.
Especially when they're young. They grow up their whole life thinking they're a victim.
Believing that. So also then.
But I can tell you any question you want about COVID. I'm sorry for going off on
the
tangent
That's good.
So that's the difference between mod RNA and messenger RNA primarily, is that the longevity of messenger RNA is on the order of hours or maybe a few days, and the longevity of mod RNA, it doesn't get metabolized the same way. So it lasts years.
And so when you're saying that, you're speaking of the actual serum material that's in the vaccination.
Yes, it's inside the lipid nanoparticles. Remember the lipid nanoparticles? Mm-hmm. They were put inside a lipid nanoparticle because cell walls are lipophilic, and that allows like dissolves like, right? So it allows the lipid nanoparticle to meld with the cell wall and deliver its contents, the payload, which is mod RNA, to the cytoplasm, the inside of the cell. And then it finds ribosomes and gets translated into proteins. But since all of this theory has happened, we have done a lot of research now that was not done originally. It should have all been done beforehand, but it wasn't. They rushed this thing through, remember. And now we find out that mod RNA causes ribosomal frame shifting, which is something that's not going to be too familiar with most of your listeners, but I can very briefly explain it.
Yes.
It's when you take a codon, which is a three base pair segment, which maps to an anticodon on transfer RNA, which carries an amino acid. And remember, proteins are just long strings of amino acids.
Yes.
And when you do a ribosomal frame shifting, that means you take a three-letter codon and you cut off the third letter of it, and that goes with the first two letters of the next codon, and then the third one of the next codon goes with the first two letters of the next codon, so that all the codons are wrong, so that all the amino acids are, you're mapping to the wrong amino acids, so you get what we call nonsense proteins. And those things can be very toxic.
And it remains in the system.
Yeah, sure it does. And it causes all kinds of havoc we don't even know about yet. That's why so many people died of the vaccine.
Let's talk about that for a moment. As best I can understand and recall from my research on the subject, now we're being told, now it's being admitted, now there's being findings, now we are finding from some that have filed suit and gotten documents from the CDC and the NIH, etc., that men, males, 35 to 55 in particular, were susceptible to having major, major heart problems. Explain that. Why is it just in certain categories or certain genders that these things are taking place? What's the difference, and what should we know about that?
Okay, first of all, it was not males from 33 to 55. It was young males. It was males from about age
18 and up.
Yeah, that's right. 18 to 24 was the peak.
Yes.
But it went up into the early 30s, and it went down into the early teens. Mm-hmm. But it's that 18 to 24-year-old age group that had a very high incidence of a thing we call myocarditis. That means inflammation of the heart muscle. And myocarditis can be mild and it can resolve, but the number one cause of heart transplants in the United States is myocarditis. So it can be a very serious thing, and it was a horrible complication of the vaccine that the CDC knew about and did not disclose in the thing you have to sign before surgery, your consent form.
Consent form. Mm-hmm.
It was not disclosed in there. And I've listened to fathers. I remember one father in particular from Canada that called up the clinic that gave his son the vaccine, and without disclosing that myocarditis was a possibility, because the son was like 18 years old. And this father was livid about it, because his son ended up getting myocarditis.
I don't know of any human being.
And it wasn't even in the consent.
I don't know of any human being that I've known or that I know of that were given any disclosure as to the dangers of it.
That's right. It's all that the consent form warned people against was a sore arm, a fever, mm-hmm. that sort of thing, mm-hmm. you know, which comes with any injection in the arm. They didn't talk about any of the serious complications
and
that could
occur.
And how
many of those complications do you say in your book that is there?
In Appendix 1 of my book, I have a list of over 1,300 very, very serious complications. Things like multiple sclerosis, Guillain-Barré syndrome, clotting in the ventricles of your heart. Can you imagine having a baseball-sized clot in your left ventricle?
Mm-hmm.
These things are listed in Appendix 1 of my book, Sanction the COVID Murders. And everybody should take a look at that and look at it. And that list was generated after only one dose of the Pfizer vaccine.
Yes.
Now, here's something that really should make everybody very upset. The FDA, and I don't know if you remember this, Pastor, but you probably do. The FDA tried to get all of the data hidden under lock and key for 75 years. Do you remember
that? There's
so
many documents it takes 75 years to release it all. Yeah, I remember that.
Well, a judge forced them to start releasing it, and that's when we found the list of all the complications after one dose of the Pfizer vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now listen for a second. This is very important. It wasn't Pfizer that was trying to hide the data. It was our own FDA.
Yes.
They were trying to hide the data so that people wouldn't realize how corrupt they are, allowing that thing to get approved when they knew about all these horrible side effects from it.
Yes.
You see what I mean? Doesn't that make you really sick that our own FDA was trying to hide the
data?
Let's
put a little footnote there and ask another question in direct relationship to that. Why would they do that? What is the gain of them having done that?
Oh, the FDA?
The FDA.
Because 75 years, all the people that are working at the FDA are going to be dead in 75 years. Mm-hmm. So they wouldn't have to face the music
mm-hmm.
and explain how they could have possibly approved a vaccine that caused all these horrible, horrible side effects, including death.
So the question then comes to my mind, does that mean that Pfizer did no human studies before that was rolled out? And I understand based on research that Dr. Fauci and others lied and lied and lied for the first 2 years of President Trump's first presidency that kept this under wraps.
Pastor, you would not believe how much they skirted the issue of testing in humans. They used different formulations to test biodistribution, for example, to see where it would go in the body. They didn't use the actual commercial product. But the biggest thing they did, which they didn't test on humans, is they didn't even test the vaccine on humans. They switched from the PCR amplification method from which they got the approval to a E. coli and COVID method to multiply the mRNA. Because you got to make billions of copies of this
mm-hmm.
thing now.
Right.
So they used the organism E. coli, which is a bacterium, and inserted a plasmid into it and made copies of the plasmid by letting the E. coli multiply in over a weekend in a big aluminum vat. They just throw some E. coli in there, some sugar, and some plasmids, and the E. coli will take up the plasmid and multiply. So that we would have billions and billions of copies of the mRNA. Then they pseudo-uridinated it, meaning they took the uracil residues and put a methyl group on it at the N1 position, which caused all the problems. I mean, gosh, they didn't even test that formulation in people before they injected it into us.
But yet, for all of that which was promoted on television and through the Marxist media and through the Democratic Party, was that it's been found to be safe and efficacious.
I know. It was not safe or effective, and I proved it in the summer of 2020 before the vaccines even came out.
Absolutely.
And I can explain how I proved that very easily.
Ladies and gentlemen, The telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. We're going to take the top of the hour news break right after the news. We'll be right back as we continue to face the issues.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological.